Hello, my name is Ray Jefferson, and you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU FM. On this program, we sit down with community leaders, artists, and creatives who are cultivating the creative identity of Waco. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications at Creative Waco. We're a nonprofit that exists to grow and support the arts in our community. On this episode, we'll talk with Doreen Ravenscroft, who's the founder and director of Cultural Arts of Waco and organizer of the annual Waco Cultural Arts Fest, which is coming up in just 1 week. You'll also hear a segment called David in Art with David Smith. But first, Creative Waco Executive Director Fiona Bond is here to share about a new professional development course that we started just for artists and creatives. Fiona, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
So this program is called Work of Art, which I think is pretty clever because it's a program that is literally teaching artists the work side of being a professional artist.
That's exactly right. It's some business skills for artists. And, you know, there's a myth out there that in order to be an artist, you have to be prepared to starve. And that really isn't the case. And this course is 8 weeks worth of business skills for people in the creative sector. So whether they are visual artists, whether people have ambitions to be in theater or filmmaking, design, all the different industries that make up the creative industries. This course is about how to craft a career based on business principles that actually allows you to live and make a living as an artist.
I'm sure that sounds great to a lot of people. How did this program find its way to Waco?
Well, this is the brainchild of Luann Jennings, who works with us at Creative Waco. And Luann has been researching different kinds of courses and different kinds of curriculum in professional development for the arts. It's been an interest, an academic interest and a practical interest of hers for a long time. And she piloted a taster session back in the spring, which was extremely well attended and got excellent feedback. And from the kind of feedback that she got from that and that we got on the basis of that, we really tried to drill down into what it was that people actually wanted to learn and thought would make them more successful in making a living as an artist. And so this is the result of that process. She kind of took the best of various different kinds of programs out there, combined it. It's largely based on Springboard for the Arts, which is a Minnesota-based program. And she's brought in her own expertise and other bits and pieces from other programs and made a very unique Waco-specific program, which is called Work of Art.
Awesome. When and where will the sessions be held?
Well, people can choose whether they do Monday evenings or whether they do Wednesday mornings. It will start on September the 24th and end on November the 14th for this semester. There is a very affordable price for this semester because it's the very first time we'll have done this. So $95 is the all-in price for those all 8 sessions. And there are a couple of additional optional sessions too. You get a certificate at the end. It's a great add-on if you're a student. The accreditation part is a part that you can add to your CV or your resume. And it is really practical stuff, everything from legal issues to how to manage your finances, how to do marketing, all the kinds of things that you need to do if you're going to promote yourself as an artist or creative.
Great. My last question, who is this course for?
It's really for anyone that thinks those skills would be useful. And so absolutely, it would be suitable for students, current students who are thinking about a career in the arts, but also for people who've already been practicing as artists, musicians, people who want to kind of dive more deeply into that as a career option, or even people who just want to hone those skills.
Awesome. So Fiona, thank you so much for telling us about this program, this opportunity to learn or expand on business skills for creatives. You can go to creativewaco.org/blog for more info about Work of Art, to register for the program, and for financial aid opportunities that are perfect for college students and new artists. Let's take a short break for David in Art with David Smith. On this installment, David is remembering a jazz age composer whose music still sparkles with creativity.
A little story on page 20 of the New York Times for March 9, 1928, announced George Gershwin to sail. The composer, already widely celebrated for his work in musical theater and his groundbreaking composition, Rhapsody in Blue, was going to Europe for 5 months along with his brother and sister. The paper explained that while there, Mr. Gershwin hoped to complete his latest orchestral work, a piece that would be called An American in Paris. George Gershwin was born in Brooklyn in 1898. This Wednesday would have been his 120th birthday. His parents were Russian Jews who immigrated to the United States just a few years earlier. As a child, George wasn't interested in music until he was 10 and a friend of his got a violin. After that, he was always on the family's piano, and by the time he was 16, the year World War I began, he decided he was going to be a professional musician. He got a job at a music publishing house in Manhattan, and before he turned 17, he had written his first songs. 4 years later, Al Jolson began singing Gershwin's song Swanee, and the young man from Brooklyn had his first national hit. He developed into one of the greatest songwriters this country has ever produced. With his lyricist brother Ira, they wrote standards like I Got Rhythm, Someone to Watch Over Me, Let's Call the Whole Thing Off, and many more. George Gershwin was part of the energetic American cultural scene of the 1920s known as the Jazz Age. At glitzy parties filled with actors, playwrights, poets, and critics, he would sit down at a piano and play the entire score of whatever he was working on at the moment. The artistic output resulting from such interaction, including Gershwin's familiarity with the African-American artists of the Harlem Renaissance, was unprecedented. His fusing of something as distinctively American as jazz to the traditional orchestral form is a tremendous achievement. That December, An American in Paris had its premiere at Carnegie Hall. While the last note still rang in the air, the audience exploded with riotous applause. Later that night, amid toast and clinking champagne glasses, one New York socialite called Gershwin the leader of young America in music in the same sense in which Lindbergh is the leader of young America in aviation. All music, in fact all art, should be a product of the time in which it is produced, Gershwin said in 1929. The old masters reflected in their music the spirit of the age. Isn't it up to us to do the same thing? American culture is fortunate that he thought so.
David and Art is a regular Monday feature during Morning Edition and All Things Considered on KWBU. You can find this and past segments online. Just look for David and Art under the Programs tab at kwbu.org. You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. I'm here with Doreen Ravenscroft, who's the Director of Cultural Arts of Waco. Doreen, her staff, and an army of volunteers put on some of Waco's largest cultural events each year, including Art on Elm and Arts Fest, which is coming up at the beginning of October. Doreen, thank you for joining me.
Pleasure to be here.
So I've got you in the studio today because this might just be me, but it really always feels like Arts Fest is the pinnacle cultural event for, here in Waco, for us here in Waco. How many years has the festival been running?
Okay, we're into our 15th year this year.
Wow.
So pretty exciting.
Yeah. So you guys, you feel like you have a handle on things by now?
Well, I'm not sure we have a handle on things. Let's put it like this. There's always a challenge every year that comes along. So it's a new one every time.
So how did Arts Fest begin?
It began in 2004, and so we felt that we needed to have a free festival for the arts in Waco. And so we hurriedly put together Sam Torres, Henry Wright, Michael Bettesworth, and myself, Waco Cultural Arts Fest, so that we could begin in 2004. And, you know, from that date, it's grown. We were 2,000 people when it first started. And today, depending on the weather, it can be 15,000 to 20,000 people.
Wow, that's incredible. So what do you guys hope to achieve each year with the festival?
It's almost the same goals, in that, first of all, it's getting people to enjoy art and feel comfortable with art. It's also then to really let parents understand that their children need the arts in their life, especially with early childhood development. So I think that's a huge message for us. And then, of course, the greatest thing is that it's just everybody together. We don't say this is just a kid's activity. This is arts for all. I love it when there's a grandfather right next door to some little tot, and they're both chatting to each other, and they've not met until they were at easel art. So, you know, that's fun to see.
Yeah, that's so sweet. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite things about Art Fest is that we're able to celebrate so many different types of art at one event. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of that representation of different art forms and maybe even different kinds of people?
Mm-hmm. Well, why we wanted to have the different art forms is because really this was just a sampling. We wanted to see how music connects with the visual arts, how the visual arts connect with science. And then, of course, you go on to engineering, and all of those things are creative. And so putting them in a package together with dance and WordFest and also Celebration Africa is kind of gelling those things instead of keeping them in separate buckets.
Sure. So what can guests expect to see this year at Arts Fest?
At Arts Fest this year, well, you know, when it comes to the arts activities, our expectations are actually ruled by our little attendees in that if we take away easel art, if we take away wood sculpture, if we take away masks, so basically, that's the same kind of thing. So what we see actually from that, if we recognize some of the kids from previous years, which often happens, you can actually see how they've grown over that year.
Yeah.
And how they have, you know, increased their skills. On our main stage, it's a fantastic opportunity for us to showcase the school arts programming. This year, we're showcasing a lot of WISD, which we're very thrilled to showcase the Lake Waco Montessori, the new University High Vivace Choir. So, you know, and there that makes a point that the schools are still feeling that the visual and musical arts, are, performance arts are important.
Yeah.
One of the things we do, and we've been doing it ever since we started, is that we do a school outreach performance. So this year's schools are Kendrick Elementary and J.H. Hines, and they will finally get to see Rattletree, which is the amazing xylophones that come from Zimbabwe.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So each year, whenever you see these kids that are able to perform and to actually be a part of Arts Fest, what do you think that means to them to be in everything?
I think for them, I'm hoping, first of all, it's pride, and also that they can, you know, they're also working as a unit. They're working as a team. They're not necessarily just working individually. So they're getting those skills to be a part of a community.
Yeah. So I also know you guys include Science Fest as a part of the festival. Why do you feel like it's important to include science in the mix of all this culture and art?
Well, you know, that was kind of my idea. I'm a scientist at heart. I grew up with a chemistry degree, which mm-hmm. people would think, oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah.
But chemistry is incredibly creative. It's also incredibly colorful. But one of the things is, you know, we can't do art without the chemistry of the colors.
Sure.
So just beginning to link science, this year we will have some exhibits on earth warming. Obviously, we're going to showcase the rockets and the robots, just simply because it's a whole new team that's showcasing them and how their programs have developed so that they're moving along. You know, University High has just broken the sound barrier. You know, they hadn't done that last year.
Yeah.
So to hear the kids talk about that and to hear how enthusiastic, I'm always kind of wanting to be in Science Fest and listen in as some of the students are telling what they have done, especially to the adults, because they are so proficient at what they know. It's really exciting to see that in our young people.
Yeah, that's awesome. I also wanted to take a chance or get a chance to talk about probably the parts of the festival that people more readily recognize, which would be, you know, things that happen on the main stage or Word Fest or Dance Fest, since those are more traditional art forms. What do you guys kind of put in an effort to get more local talent, or do we have some acts that are coming from around the state?
Well, for Dance Fest, you know, it's basically a national call, but most of the artists, because it's contemporary dance, mm-hmm. are from Texas, Oklahoma, or Arkansas. They actually have to submit a 4-minute video of their work so that we can see how they are progressing and how they could showcase contemporary art. With that, we also have a kids program on a Friday morning, which helps with movement and watching dance. So 200 kids will be at that program. And then Dance Exchange, which Brooke Schlechte, you know, devised, has also helped our local dance groups be a huge part in doing contemporary themes and contemporary dances. And WordFest is just exploding all over the world.
Yeah.
And Sandy Horton leading that is quite amazing. You know, and to see the people that are coming to Waco just because of WordFest and not the silos is even exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, you mentioned Brooke and Sandy. I think that those are two incredible women who are doing really important things for the arts here in Waco. And so it's great to know that they're...
They do.
Yeah.
I couldn't do, you know, the organization without them, because they have the skills in those areas to connect with the right people and bring the whole program together. You know, people don't realize it's not just me. There's a lot of people in the background that are creating the different parts of the festival.
Sure. Collaboration is essential for
absolutely
making this happen.
Yeah.
So throughout the time that you've been doing this, how have you seen the festival impact those who are involved each year, whether they're attendees, you know, kids that you're seeing come back, or if it's an actual artist that you're seeing perform every year? What do you think they're really getting out of it?
Well, you know, one of our most important ones happened really early on, and that was a young student who told her father, she was like 5 or 6, that she wanted to play violin. And she did play violin, and she became the national fiddle player.
Wow.
That happened because she was so interested in what was happening on the main stage. Mm-hmm. So much we don't really know as to the outcomes because we're not listening in. But when we hear those things, it's really exciting, you know. And like University High, their Rocket performance this year has been outstanding. Talking, if I can, a few minutes on main stage.
Sure.
Friday night, we open with Rattletree, so adults can enjoy those incredible sounds, but it's more electronica. But we're having the Peterson Brothers and then DeSoul Davis, and I think it's going to be a fantastic Friday opening.
Awesome. That's so exciting. I also, you know, would love to talk more about, you know, you and what you've gotten out of this whole process of, you know, bringing this brand new festival to Waco, seeing it grow, being able to bring art consistently to the city. How do you feel that you yourself have like grown either as a creative or just, you know, as a person in general?
I think my biggest thing is just it's still so hard to say no to so many ideas and to so many young people that want to do things.
Yeah.
And also it's fantastic that I've seen the Cultural Arts Fest develop and the cultural district develop.
Sure.
You know, it was just a kind of glimmer, and now to see that happen is so important because it gives us more opportunities for funding in the arts. But for myself, I think I get the greatest thing when I see two legs and a head walking down with a piece of art. They're not hiding it. They are showing it to everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, for some of these kids to hear a well done, a great job. Oh, I love that. I think we make them grow about 10 inches.
Mm-hmm. I love that you've been a part of this process from the very beginning, and that you have also been a member of the Waco community for quite a while now. And so you've had a chance to see how the cultural scene has changed and how there are a lot of things happening that weren't happening even, 5, 10 years ago. Mm. What do you think that Arts Fest does for Waco's reputation as a cultural destination?
I think what Arts Fest does is really exemplify our family and getting together. I think when we had the Koresh incident and artists were coming in from New York and it was like, oh, you don't want to go to Waco. That has so changed. We were a little part of that change because after they left Waco, they thought we were an absolutely fantastic city. To have those impressions, those picture impressions, I think really are the most important thing. A family's having a good time. Also, our police enjoying a family event. Mm-hmm. Really, really important. And then just the diversity, everybody getting along. That's even bigger.
Yeah. Awesome. So do you feel like diversity is an important part of what you're doing with the festival?
I do, yes. I think it's very important. And also the fact that we keep the festival free. It's hard to keep the festival free and always be asking for money and support. But we have families that couldn't afford the $5 per activity or even the gate to come in. And so we are arts for all. We need to reach everybody. And, we also reach our kids with disabilities through our summer camp. So that's even important as well.
Yeah, awesome. I think you're definitely hitting on really important parts of our community that are often overlooked. So thank you mm-hmm. so much for the work that you do. So what have been some of the biggest challenges of bringing artistic experiences to Waco?
Oh, I think the weather.
Yeah.
It's an outdoor event. So, yes, we've had torrential rain. We've had a tornado. Art on Elm, we were freezing cold.
Yeah.
I think that's initially the first challenge because the artists themselves who come are enthusiastic, especially the selling artists, the artists that are selling their work. Art on Elm, it was like they were in tears saying, we're so sorry, we have to leave. Mm-hmm. It's so cold. And then you really knew that they were passionate about coming to Waco. They were passionate about being involved in an arts festival. And I think what they tell me is they're so amazed with how many children's projects we have because most arts festivals don't integrate the experience with the selling of art. And I think if you can make art and then you can, go and enjoy and see art that's being sold, it's kind of that little step to what Fiona was talking about, that you can have an arts career.
Yeah. We kind of talked about this a little bit already, but I would love to kind of dive more into some of the rewarding aspects of the work that you do in the arts. Aside from doing this sort of work in Waco, have you worked in other communities and done these sorts of things?
Well, in England, yes, all the time. My mom was a consummate volunteer, and so right from, I think, 4 or 5, there was times when we were volunteering and doing things and, being part of a community and also making an impact and being an impact on the community, but not for your own self-esteem, but so that you're helping other people and you're helping yourself and other folks grow together in what you're passionate about.
Sure. Do you think that with you, because you're not from Waco, do you think that the kind of work that you've done here has helped you to cultivate your love for the city here and for the people here?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. They say it's the Brazos River mud. I've never been in the Brazos River. But
you have yet to go into the water? You got to go paddleboarding.
but my friend Luann Claris, a long, long time ago, said it's the Brazos River mud. And it's kind of a strange saying, but there's kind of a feeling about Waco that once you get here, you don't want to leave.
Yes.
My husband came with M&M Mars, and once the folks were transferred here, Mars couldn't understand why the transferees didn't want to leave Waco.
Yeah.
I think it's because it has a family feeling. It's safe. You know, yeah, we do have our incidents, but, I think it's a feel-good place to bring up kids. And for teenagers, it's harder. I have to say that. From really good experience.
So funny.
But I think that's what we got to build is a bit more for our teenagers. But, I really think that Waco is a great grounding place for families.
Sure. When you first arrived here, did you already see that there were things happening here with the arts? Or how were you feeling when you got here?
When I first came here, there was the Art Center, there was Historic Waco, and there was the Symphony. And I joined them all and ended up with my passion really being the art. My husband's passion was music. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of went on from there. And, there were no soccer fields when we came to Waco.
Yeah.
You know, look at the complex now. You know, the art and love of all of that, of people that have gone in to create those soccer fields out by the airfield. Half of Valley Mills wasn't built. So it's really grown and really changed. And, I hated it when Waco was downtown did not have a very, not a lot of respect.
Sure.
But it's so good to see it growing now and changing. And it's taken a long time, 30 to 40 years or maybe even more. But to see it have the energy of the young people in it, yourself, Fiona, Kevin, what you're doing downtown to make things happen and get some life there is really important.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Looking back at the years that you've spent investing in our creative community and seeing where things are today, we've had an incredible few years. The symphony has brought some really important mm-hmm. people. Baylor, of course, has brought a ton of musicians that are really doing well in their field. We have a Banksy that's on display at Cultivate 712 right now. What's your hope for the creative future of Waco?
My hope is actually a dream that I want to do in East Waco, and that's to put art place in East Waco and make an arts hub for really an underserved part of the community. So I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to do that and dwindle the rest of my life away doing art with kids.
Awesome. I know we would all love to see that, Doreen. Thank you so much. Arts Fest runs from October 5th through 7th. Doreen, thank you so much for stopping by to talk about Waco Cultural Arts Fest and what it brings to the wider Waco community. Visit wacoartsfest.org for a full calendar of events. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for a recap of this program. Catch the next episode of Conversations with Creative Waco on Friday, October 26th, when I'll share more stories of leaders from Waco's artistic and cultural community. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU FM. I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Thanks for tuning in.